Developing a Christ-like character. Today we will be focusing mainly in 2 Peter. The second epistle of Peter contains a very strong message to the Asia Minor churches of the early churches. This message is almost sad in a way. Peter writes this with an awareness that his death was imminent. Peter writes this warning the early churches of false teachers with the hope that they will be mindful of the commandments given to them by the apostles of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18, if you'd like to turn to 2 Peter with me, since we'll be spending most of our time there. Verse 18 reads, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." The final commandments this apostle leaves his readers is a charge to grow in the grace of knowledge. What does it mean to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? How can we be sure that we are growing correctly in this knowledge? Well, with this lesson, we begin a series entitled Growing in the Knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter speaks of steps that we must take, a guideline that we must follow. The knowledge Peter refers to are the eight graces. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, Peter says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence adds to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." So let's briefly go over everything that was said in those verses. Faith is conviction and strong assurance. Virtue is moral excellence and goodness. Knowledge is correct insight, self-control, self-discipline. Perseverance, bearing up under trials. Godliness, godly character out of devotion to God. Brotherly kindness is love toward brethren. And then love, active goodwill toward others. Now, notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8, "For if these things are yours and abound," notice how it says abound. We must abound in these eight graces. We must be full of them. Only then can it be said that we are growing in the knowledge of Christ. It is more than just simply having knowledge of these graces. Peter is talking about growing in a fuller and more personal way, a more personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, which comes by developing the Christ-like attributes listed by these eight graces. The more we grow in these graces, the more we grow closer to Jesus. If we think about it, these graces are more or less the embodiment of Jesus Christ. Further proof that it involves more than just knowledge of these graces is evident from the Greek word used for knowledge in this passage. Because if we look at the New Testament, it was written originally in Greek. So what is the Greek word for knowledge? It is pronounced epignosis. This word epignosis means to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, and know well. So clearly, when we look at the earlier translation, knowledge just does not mean to just know it. It means that we have a full understanding and we act on it. Such knowledge comes only as we demonstrate these Christ-like graces in our lives, in conjunction with one another. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 again. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. So notice the word add. Before each grace mentioned, this word add is implied. The word in Greek is epikourageo, which means to found and support a course, to lead a choir, to keep in tune, and to supply and provide. This word suggests the idea of each grace working together, stacking on one another. Notice also the preposition to. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Again, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and so on. So, two is in tandem with this stacking of one another. It shows that each of these things complements the next one. Each grace is placed in a very specific order. For example, in verse 6, to knowledge self-control. So to knowledge add self-control. The grace of self-control enables one to apply properly the knowledge one has. Another example, to self-control, perseverance. So to self-control, add perseverance. Self-control, in turn, needs the quality of perseverance to be consistent day after day. Therefore, each and every single grace here is completely necessary. They must all be developed in conjunction with each other. We cannot be selective and just pick the ones that we like and then leave the others behind. Also, notice the use of the word diligence repeatedly. It means earnestness, zeal, sometimes with haste. To grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ requires much effort. We do not accidentally or naturally develop these graces. In the book Folk Psalms of Faith by Raymond Charles Stedman, he tells a story of a woman who had been a school teacher for 25 years. When she heard about a job that would mean a promotion, she applied for this position naturally. However, someone who had been teaching for only 1 year was hired instead. She went to the principal and she asked, "Why?" And the principal responded, "I'm sorry, but you haven't had 25 years of experience, as you claim. You've had only 1 year's experience 25 times. During that whole 25 years, this teacher has not improved. She stayed the same. So therefore, she did not get the promotion. We may have been Christians for a number of years, but unless we add to our faith these Christ-like qualities with all diligence, we are simply repeating the first year over and over and over again. So we must grow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So here, what it's saying is it lists grace, peace, and growth in Jesus. Why does it do that? Because they all go hand in hand. Grace, a greeting which requests God's unmerited favor upon the person addressed. Peace, a greeting requesting the natural result of God's favor. All men experience God's favor and its results to some degree, but only in Christ can we enjoy the fullness of God's favor and peace. If you desire God's grace and peace to be multiplied in your life, it is through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is through the growth in Jesus Christ. Only as we grow in this knowledge do we enjoy the true full life available by God's divine power. God's divine power, which includes exceedingly great and precious promises. God's divine power, which enables us to be partakers of the divine nature. God's divine power, which can free us from the corruption that is in the world through lust. All this can be found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4. If we desire to have all that God has to offer, if we desire to have what God offers related to life and godliness, it comes as we develop a Christ-like character. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go to verse 9. It says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." If we are not growing in the knowledge of Jesus, our religion is, in fact, short-sighted. For what is the ultimate objective of being a Christian? It is to be like Christ. Failure to grow indicates we have forgotten why we were redeemed by the blood of Christ in the very first place. Unless we want to be guilty of spiritual forgetfulness and short-sightedness, we need to continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 10. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble." If you are diligent to make your calling and election sure, if you add to your faith virtue, and if you abound in these eight graces, it says you will never stumble. Now, this does not mean that we will never sin. We may still fall into hard times. Things will get tough, and we still make mistakes. But we will never stumble so as to fall short of ultimate salvation. This assurance is true, though, only if we are giving all diligence to grow in the knowledge of Christ and thereby making our calling and election sure. We'll move on to verse 11. It says, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." In other words, by possessing the eight graces, we will be able to live victoriously in this life and to joyously anticipate what lies ahead. In conclusion, are these not reasons to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Through such knowledge, there's grace and peace, which is multiplied. All things pertaining to life and godliness are provided. We will not become short-sighted in our salvation. We will never stumble, and an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom will be ours. But first, you must hear the word, you must believe it, you must repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you must continue to be faithful. So if you are in need of the peace and the comfort that is offered by God, let it be known as together we stand and sing.